listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams, pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today. The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams, pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
What is the After Hours TD of the week? We've given you four candidates, and we would love for you to cast your vote. I haven't cast my vote yet. I'm not sure. I do love watching Devontae Smith haul in any kind of a pass, but definitely when it's in the end zone. And man, that stunner with the Colts over the Chiefs for a rookie to grab his second touchdown of the game, the way the Vikings roared back, I just would like Kirk Cousins to get a little bit of credit. And then Cooper Kupp, what can't he do? He is Taysom Hill without being a utility guy, right? He can do everything that Taysom Hill can do. It's just that Taysom is not on the field as much as Cooper Kupp is and isn't making as much of an impact. Snap it and snap out. So, TD of the week. I'm still mulling it over. You can too. On Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on my Twitter, A Law Radio, and then on our Facebook page too. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need cash out of your home and a simple way to get it, Rocket can. There's a lot we still want to get to. We've got the latest on some of the injuries around the NFL that do not have anything to do with quarterbacks. Because even though we're obsessed with our quarterbacks, we don't only talk about quarterbacks. That's one of my rules on the show. Also, a gem for the Atlanta Braves. Remember, there's actually baseball going on too. So a gem for the Braves as they try to take advantage of a night off for the team they are chasing. And then more from the NBA, including Chris Paul, weighing in on the situation with the owner of the Phoenix Suns, Robert Sarver. So all of that is still to come. Oh, and a funny story. You guys are going to laugh at me because I feel as though I'm being put to the test. This always happens when I open my big mouth. I get put to the test. So I promise I'll share that with you straight ahead. But thanks for hanging out with us. Monday's in the rearview mirror, whether it was manic or whether it was marvelous. We're on to a Tuesday here on CBS Sports Radio.
Murray back to throw. And it is. Is it tossed? Oh, my goodness, it's tossed. DeAndre Hopkins caught it.
Back from under center. Steps back. Throws the fade.
Cooper Kupp got it. Touchdown, LA.
Burrow back to throw. Looking. Firing deep for Chase in the end zone.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
got it.
Mahomes fires for the end zone, caught, touchdown, Kansas City. And off to Eckler again, no, Herbert keeps it, end zone, touchdown, Chargers. Herbert with his second of the day.
Here's the snap, Josh going to keep it himself and run it again inside the five, into the end zone, touchdown, Buffalo. Josh Allen, 9-yard touchdown run. The Bills respond and then some.
It's time for QB News on After Hours.
Monday Night Football from the NFC East featuring Daniel Jones and Cooper Rush starting again in place of the injured Dak Prescott, who may be back for the next weekend or the weekend after that. Not sure yet, but maybe there should be a quarterback controversy considering how well Cooper Rush is playing. He leads the team on a pair of touchdown drives in the second half. And just when you thought this game was DOA, there's actually a bunch of offense. 30 points scored after halftime between the Cowboys and the Giants. And Cooper, very efficient, looks comfortable back there in the pocket. And his offensive line doing work in front of him. 21 of 31 for 215 yards and a score. Could have had More yards than that had CeeDee Lamb not dropped a beautiful ball. I think it was in the second quarter. But CeeDee did have a redemption moment, the go-ahead touchdown in the fourth, and the victory for the Dallas Cowboys as they moved to 2-1.
Division opponent, you want to get off, you know, in the division on the right foot. Another great team win. Our defense holding another offense under 20. Running the rock, making plays outside. You know, this is kind of what we want to do. We want to come in here and, you know, division game is what it's about, is coming in and winning. We felt good on offense. We were moving it all night. Some penalty issues kind of got us set back a couple times. And so we felt good as a group, like, just let's execute, no more penalties, and we can move the ball on them. And, you know, we were able to.
So Cooper Rush and the Dallas Cowboys, they're flying high, even as they wait for Dak Prescott to return to the field. Don't believe Jerry Jones for a second. As for the New York Giants, they're also at 2-1, but we talked about the Giants going into this weekend. Not all undefeated teams are created equal, and the Giants have a lot of warts. They have a lot of flaws. Yes, they beat the Titans fair and square, and they got their two wins fair and square. Can't take those away, and it's a good start for Brian Daboll, but still, not a lot of offense. At times, really scuffling. You would see them settle into a rhythm briefly, but for the most part, there's been a lot of consternation around the offense, and still, there will be coming out of week number three. Daniel Jones, 20 of 37 for 196 yards and a late interception. And the bigger problem is that the Cowboys' defensive line was all up in his grill the entire game. Five total sacks, three of them from DeMarcus Lawrence, another dozen QB hits. And for a lot of this game, he didn't have time to even move through his drops and then step up. He didn't have time to watch the play develop. That's how quickly they were in his face.
They're a good front. They're a good defense. You got to give credit to them. They played hard. But, yeah, I think there's things we can all do better with that, and that starts with me and, you know, finding space to step up, finding space to move around the pocket and make some plays. So I'll study that, and we all will, but credit to them. They're a good front. They're a good defense.
He's making progress. You know, it's tough after a loss. You know, nobody did well enough, and we understand that. But I think he's making progress, and he fought. He battled. You know, he made some really good plays out there under some duress.
Brian Daboll speaking for his quarterback. He inherits this quarterback. I don't know if he'll have this quarterback in his second year as the head coach of the New York Giants. That question does not yet have an answer. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Mac Jones in year number two and now having to deal with a lot of the adversity. Now, as a rookie, certainly there's a lot that is thrown at you. But the way that he was handpicked by Bill Belichick and then ended up getting that starting job out of training camp, not a ton of expectation on him initially, I think. In year number two, a lot more pressure. And the Patriots expected to build on what they did last year and the fact that they were a wild card out of the AFC East. So now falling to 1-2 after losing to the Ravens on their own field and the way they lost, with three consecutive possessions ending in turnovers at the end of the game when they still had an opportunity to rally past Baltimore. And to add injury to insult, Mac Jones with what appeared to be a very painful ankle sprain at the very end of the game, right? So that's the worst. You throw the game away, essentially, or at least throw away your opportunities to try to come back and put together a rally. And then at the very end, when you're already feeling the pain of that loss, you sprain your ankle. He made his appearance on our Boston affiliate, WEEI, on Monday, and they asked him how he's feeling.
Trying to, you know, take it day by day, and I feel better than I did yesterday, and we'll see what tomorrow has in store. So definitely feeling a little better. Just trying to get everything together and come up with a good plan here, and just tomorrow see how I feel, and the next day see how I feel. So I'm really just focused on, you know, doing my treatment and just trying to do the right things to become recovered and be ready to go.
According to the reports that are out there, he has a high ankle sprain, and the Patriots are preparing to be without him for several weeks. I mean, that's scary to think about for the Patriots, considering that right now you've got teams that are surging in the AFC specifically. You don't want to fall behind too much. And high ankle sprains are, I mean, they're tough to deal with. Then you think about the AFC East, where the Dolphins reside and the Bills. And again, you don't want to fall too far behind. But according to Adam Schefter, he's got a severe high ankle sprain that might even require surgery. And again, right now is in line to miss multiple games, even though Mac and the Patriots are looking at all of the options. So again, on WEEI with Merlone and Fourier and Mego, he was asked about the injury and what the prognosis is.
Do you feel like there's a chance at all you could play this weekend?
Definitely a Coach Belichick question. I think, like I said, we're kind of in the spot where I'm just trying to get better and see how I feel each day and go from there. So definitely have a better answer for you towards the end of the week, but you guys can ask him.
Coming up this weekend, it just happens to be the Green Bay Packers. Actually, the Packers start to the schedule is tough. It's after hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Belichick declining to give any type of insight about Mac Jones or how it happened or where they go from here. Yeah, right. Tua Tagovailoa was wobbly after getting pushed to the turf. The Dolphins and the Bills game in South Florida on Sunday, and it seemed like his head smacked back on the ground behind him. And so when he stood up, he couldn't remain upright. And he wasn't able to walk without looking like he was going to fall over, like he was going to collapse. And so instantly, I think the majority of people watching assumed that he had some type of a head injury and would be in concussion protocol. He left the field, but he returned to start the second half. Coach Mike McDaniel trying to give an update on Monday.
I have an update for that he's feeling sore. But as far as everything else, we're just acquiring information right now. But in terms of the exact imaging and stuff.
Actually, the back injury is what they've told people is that it was a back injury, including Tua himself saying that that's what caused him to be wobbly, that he'd already sustained a bit of a back injury before that play, and that exacerbated the situation and made it impossible for him to stand up straight. But the NFLPA has launched an investigation to be sure he wasn't out there on the field improperly. Chase Edmonds had a couple of TDs, and he joined Sirius XM NFL Radio on Monday. Was he nervous when Tua left the game?
Yeah, we're concerned. I was concerned after about the third play. He didn't come back in yet. I thought it was one of those where he comes out, takes his hat off real quick, gets looked at, and comes back in. But, again, man, we got to just have the mindset of don't blink. You know, we have full confidence in Teddy B as well. And, you know, whether it was him or Tua, just finding a way to win the game and finding a way to keep each other's back and just finding a way, again, to strain for it.
As of now, we don't have a whole lot of information on Tua, but coming up in week number 4, it's the Dolphins on Thursday Night Football at the Cincinnati Bengals. So another stiff test for Miami on the road. We'll see how Tua is feeling. At some point, the Dolphins will have to put out that injury report and let the world know if he's good to go or if he's questionable or, you know, how that works for the NFL.
That looked like money.
Another quarterback injury, that of Justin Herbert, who was definitely in pain and actually said even with the game in the bag, essentially, even with the game being out of reach for the Chargers on Sunday, that he did not want to quit on his team. He didn't want to leave the field because he didn't want it to appear as though he was giving up. Now, this is in Los Angeles. The Jacksonville Jaguars are running roughshod over the Chargers, but he did not want to leave the field
early. Gangster quarterback.
yes, although your gangster quarterback is in some kind of pain. And Brandon Staley says, well, he's going to have to play with it.
Justin's going to be feeling like this when he's out there playing. This injury is going to be there for a while. If you guys know the injury, it's not like it's going to feel better next week or the week after that. This thing is going to be present for a while, and we're going to continue to manage it the best we can.
sometimes it is about pain management when it comes to ribs and a fracture to rib cartilage. There's not really a whole lot else they can do. They can't wrap you up in a what are those called, straitjackets. He's going to move regardless of whether he's playing or not. But a lot of times it is just about pain. If the doctors think he can't do further damage and he's willing to go out there and suck it up, ow, but okay. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Now, this is a different kind of pain, growing pain for Russell Wilson and his head coach. Nathaniel Hackett actually also experiencing some growing pains. Though the Broncos are 2-1, their offense has been inconsistent at best to start the season.
Russell's been in one place for his whole career. And then he comes here. He's got new coaching staff, new city, new fans, new press, new system, new people that he's going out there and playing with. So it's not as easy as just going out there with anybody and playing ball. We're all working through all kinds of things. I'm working through things with him on making sure I'm calling the proper plays for him, that the players are running the right routes. And it just kind of goes, it's just that whole thing, just everybody working together. And there's been some good and there's been some bad. And we just got to make sure we have more good than bad as we continue to move forward.
I guess if there's a positive, it's that there are a lot of quarterbacks and a lot of offenses that definitely have not found that rhythm and groove consistently yet, or maybe at all. That would include the Chicago Bears. And hey, you know what? They're 2-1 on the season. To be able to come back the way they did and beat the Houston Texans on Sunday, you take it, you get the heck out of Dodge, or in this case, out of Soldier Field. But man, there's a lot of criticism, about Justin and about the offense and how bad it looks. If not for Khalil Herbert, this is not a win for the Chicago Bears on Sunday. So now it's up to his new head coach to answer, not his head coach in this case, actually. But yes, his coach is answering questions. But Justin himself, who's not thrilled with the way the offense has been and how he's played.
Just got to get better. That's my main plan. It's simple, of course, you know. I think that's it. I played straight up. I just played like, I want to say the A word, but I'm not going to do that. But I just played like trash. Played terrible, and really just got to be better. So, yeah.
Specifically, do you think?
A lot of things. A lot of things. A lot of things.
When in doubt, use A double curvy roads. That's a good way to let people know what you want to say without actually saying the words. It works. In fact, every time I say it, someone sends me a tweet or I get a reaction. Justin, 8 of 17. It's just odd that only 17 passes were attempted. Now, again, Khalil Herbert had a great day, but 8 of 17? Do you even have to worry about the passing game if you're a defense facing the Bears? 106 yards, 2 interceptions, and 5 sacks of Justin Fields on Sunday. So the Texans were able to get to him early and often, but whew, even with the win, there's a lot of question marks about Justin, and he agrees there should be, actually. In New Orleans, it's been tough sledding the last couple weeks for Jameis Winston and that offense. Remember, 3 interceptions in the fourth quarter against the Buccaneers going back to week number 2, including a pick 6 that sealed the win for Tampa. And then this past week, more struggles, more problems, losing to the Panthers on Sunday. So, Dennis Allen, are you making a change at quarterback?
No. No, look, we all have to play better. And so, I'm not looking to single anything out. Obviously, we got to make some corrections and we got to do a better job as a group.
Jameis, 25 of 41, 350 yards and a touchdown, but the problem is not so much what he's doing when the ball is going to the right receivers, it's when it's going to the wrong ones. And he had 2 more interceptions in this game against the Panthers on Sunday, and giving the extra opportunities to Carolina, and the fact that they were able to win this game because of the mistakes, because of the interception, at least in one case, led directly to a field goal. And then the last interception he threw was the end of the game. And squash any remaining opportunities they might have to rally. So
boo the shit out of him.
We knew Jameis Winston had an interception problem. It just is. It's about when it might rear its ugly head. All right, staying in the NFC South, Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are 2-1, but in three games, they only have three offensive touchdowns. See what I mean? About plenty of offensive woes to go around in these first few weeks of the season. On his Let's Go podcast, he was talking about the Bucs' challenges.
There's a lot of things that we're just not doing well, consistently well. We're not making enough yards in the run game. We're not converting on third down. We're not scoring in the red area. I mean, all of it comes down to scoring points. The one thing you know about football is every sport, in the end of the day, you're trying to score more points than the other team. And you can only do that by getting the ball in the end zone. You can only do that by marching the ball down the field unless you get a big play. If you march the ball down the field, you really can't have a lot of negative plays that impact you. And I think between our penalties and our turnovers, we've done our offense a disservice because we're just not able to consistently do the right thing in order to score points. So it's team-wide, it's offense-wide, it's every position is contributing, and it's obvious we got a lot of work to do.
But it's definitely not the tablet's fault. Did you hear that after the fact, it wasn't just one tablet that got destroyed, it was two, actually, on the sidelines.
I plead the fifth.
When the Bucks and Saints were playing in New Orleans in week number two. On a more serious note, yeah, right, you are. The Buccaneers are relocating to Miami ahead of Hurricane Ian and will actually hold practices at the Dolphins facility. So good to know that Miami, South Florida, is not in the path of this hurricane, which the last I knew was a Category 2, though is expected to strengthen over the warm waters of the Gulf of Mexico into potentially a Category 4. Again, lots of people evacuating the Tampa St. Pete area. There's a ton of people there, Clearwater, Florida. And so here are the Buccaneers trying to get out of Dodge before it becomes too late. And this is something all new for Tom Brady as the QB of the Bucs.
Things are kind of, trying to adjust on the fly. And preparations for an NFL game are pretty intense. This is a little different for me. I've never had to deal with anything like this. So, you know, we had COVID for a couple of years. And now with this seems like pretty intense hurricane coming our way, I don't think Tampa's probably... I don't think any place is very well suited for a hurricane to hit, but everyone in this area will be in our thoughts and prayers as we go through it. I know our team is going to have to adjust, go to Miami and practice there for the week. And then hopefully we can come back later in the week and play against the Chiefs Sunday night. So a lot of things can happen in a short period of time. And I think it's suited for all of us to stay adaptable to the situation. I don't think that anyone's really prepared for this. I know I've been preparing all morning. I get all my stuff outside, try to put it inside, try to get all the stuff on the ground level up a little bit higher. I'm right here on the bay. So they're talking about pretty high storm surges. And it's a scary thing. I will say that it's a scary thing when it really hits your doorstep.
A hurricane warning was already issued for the Tampa area on Monday night. And again, forecasters expect this hurricane to strengthen from a Category 2 and believe that Tampa St. Pete area will start to see effects of the storm. So maybe the winds and the storm surge as early as Tuesday afternoon. So mere hours from now. But the worst effects wouldn't hit that Tampa St. Pete metro until Thursday. And so right now I'm thinking of my friends who are in Western Cuba, my Cuban family, because they are directly in the path of this storm. Right now, a Cat 2 expected to strengthen once it gets over Cuba and into the warm waters of the Gulf. And a lot of people in the path of the storm, the evacuations were given, or evacuation orders and suggestions were given in plenty of time. Now, they do have a game on Sunday night. Tom Brady references it on his Let's Go podcast against the Kansas City Chiefs. Will the Bucs be able to host the game? Will they be damaged to the stadium? Will there be water everywhere? So the NFL is right now monitoring and probably can't make that decision until they see the aftermath, until the cleanup has begun. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Vote for our TD of the week. And I have a funny story to tell you coming up. It's not as funny as butt punt, but it's funny. So I feel like I deserve it. I deserve it for... Well, I just deserve it. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours.
Looking for stories about the Black community and you don't want to wait until, oh, I don't know, February? Then check out Beyond Black History Month, the podcast that tells inclusive stories year-round. Like how today's labor movement is connected to the civil rights movement and why Black neighborhoods keep getting hit with water crisis after water crisis.
We're still being charged for water that we can't use.
Listen and subscribe to Beyond Black History Month on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today. The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
Podcast. Once I turn on the radio, I'm ready to roll, ready to roll. Here on After Hours, we like you as much as you like us.
I've never been on the radio, so this is new to me, but I always listen to you when I get off work.
Cool. Oh my goodness, you're so on right now. You're so on. You stay on.
Thank you.
Don't stop what you're doing.
Hey.
Hi.
You are a superhero of the sports world. You have a very inspiring show.
Thank you for taking my call. I love your show, and you have a great night.
Thanks, Taylor. I appreciate you tuning in Houston, home of my mama.
Hello, Amy. I just wanted to say, in my humble opinion, you're one of the best to ever do it.
Thanks.
So positive and happy, and it makes my life happier.
Well, I appreciate it. I try. Feel like a heart to get started when I'm driving,
turning every head. Hell, I ain't even trying. This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Call me old school, but hey, I'm a 90s baby. In my 80s, Mercedes. I'm a 90s baby. In my 80s, Mercedes.
This is my favorite time of the year for a lot of reasons, but definitely for the weather in the Northeast. I tell you the truth when I say this is one of the reasons why I live in the Northeast. It's because the weather in the fall is brilliant. So it's starting to get cool at night to the point where my neighborhood's going to have temps in the 40s, actually, the next four nights. I'm hoping that my tomato plant survives because she's still got a lot of green tomatoes on her. Although the wind knocked her over on Monday and she lost a bunch of them. I was kind of sad. Poor Regina. Anyway, my fall daisies are just about to open. My windows are all open, so no more AC. Penny stopped panting like she's dying. And so this is my favorite. I love, love, love when I get home in the morning and it's 64 in my house. Ooh, and the battle has begun. How long can I go without turning on the heat? It's only September. There will be no turning on the heat yet. But I know it's, at least in New England anyway, it's a thing that a lot of people do. How long can you go? How tough can you be before you turn on the heat? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So coming up, Ken Dorsey sort of explains what happened when he went ballistic in the offensive coach's box at the end of the Bills' loss to Miami. And, oh my goodness, the butt punt was all the rage on Monday. Everywhere you looked and everywhere you listened. So we'll get to that. But I have to tell you this funny story because, well, I feel like I deserve it. And there are times when I tell you stories that put me in a positive light, at least I hope. Although I'm much better at telling stories that are self-deprecating. And this is one in which I think you're going to laugh at me, and that's totally fine. I'm laughing at me too. Last week, I was joking, mostly, about how men who send me text messages with LOL are instantly, and I mean instantly, kicked to the curb. I don't do LOL. I can't stand LOL. I don't know why it's such an issue with me, but it's been this way for a long time. By the way, one of the recent tweets we got to our show account has about 17 LOLs. And many of you have sent me a bunch of social media posts with LOL on them since I disclosed that it irks me. Not just that, but producer Jay and I were talking about how it's relatively dismissive and we don't like it when we send text messages to people and they respond with a thumbs up or they respond with the okay emoji. That's as bad as writing okay.
Need a little more.
Or K. Yes, it seems very, well, again, dismissive. And also, what does that even mean? Okay.
Like, I'll do it. I got it. I see just, it. I'm not going
to
do it.
What, are you too, you're too busy to send anything more than an emoji?
Yeah, it's
or
disrespectful.
An okay? All right, so that's Jay's word. Jay thinks it's disrespectful. Well, are you ready for this one, Jay? After all of that, disclosing I have a friend who is attempting to fix me up with a guy friend of hers. What did you know? First couple messages from him not only have LOL in them, all over them, but...
How many LOLs?
More than one LOL.
Like in the same sentence or the same like group or text thread, I should say?
Oh, yes. So plenty of LOLs and L and O's and LOLs again. And also... most recent text message.
No.
Responded with a thumbs up emoji.
No. What was the context?
Well, he said something to me about, I hope you had a good Sunday. Hope you didn't work too hard. And I wrote back to say, well, it was a long day like it always is on Sundays, but survived and happy to see Monday. And he writes back, thumbs up.
That's it?
Yeah. I was like, all right, good talk.
Not
but, okay, but there's more. There's more. Are you ready for this?
Yeah. Uh-oh.
Yeah. We were having a conversation on the phone, and I don't think he really gets what I do for a living, but that's totally fine because I don't want him to. I don't need him to be listening to me on the radio. Totally fine. But he knows I work in sports. As it turns out, he's a Giants fan. Well, that's another strike against him. That's already three. How many more strikes could there be for petty things, you know? So he's a Giants fan. So he proceeds to explain to me Giants football. And I, not, of course, wanting to reveal that I
could talk circles around him probably.
Know more football than he does. Well, judging by this conversation, he proceeded to tell me all these things about the Giants that aren't true. Like three or four of them that aren't even accurate. So I kind of mentioned, oh, well, this or this, not really correcting him. It's not like I was being aggressive or extra and like putting him in his place, but just, oh, what about this? And yeah, no, he mansplained to me how those things are not true. And so now I'm thinking this is not a good idea. But you know what? It's your friend and your friend thinks she's doing you a solid or I don't know, maybe you have a wingman who's done this for you before. So you don't want to like dismissive.
You got to at least go through the motions. Act like you gave it.
But I'm thinking there is not a chance in hell that this is going to work. I get LOLs. I get thumbs up emojis. He is a Giants fan. No, I'm just kidding. That has nothing to do with it. But he said a bunch of things about football that weren't even true and then tried to tell me how what I said wasn't true. So I'm not really sure that this is going to go anywhere.
Let it go, dude. Let it go.
Also, do I even bother? I've had some really bad first dates. Let me just tell you, I'm the queen. I could write a book about bad first dates. I feel like I'm too old to go through motions anymore. I don't know. But also, probably I deserve this for pontificating about how much I can't stand LOL and how it's a deal breaker. And then, of course, the next opportunity that comes along, it's a guy who apparently loves LOL. So, what's a girl to do?
Is it more the LOL or is it the football incorrectly mansplaining?
No, I don't care if you don't know football. That's the thing. Like, none of my family really cares about sports at all. And it doesn't bother me in the slightest.
But don't act like... Right, but
that's the problem is I don't care if we ever talk about football, but to say a bunch of things that aren't true, what do I just nod and smile And you're explaining them to me as though you are telling me all about Giants football.
Yeah.
I mean, so I don't know what to do. Just
how long's it been?
How long's what been?
Like this relationship?
Shut up! What? There's no relationship. There's no relationship. I've never even met him in person. It's a friend who's trying to fix me up. So she connected us.
This courting, how long has this courting lasted?
Okay, you know what? I'm going to drop an F-bomb on you if you don't knock it off.
It's, what's the word?
We're not courting. We're not dating. There's no relationship. We've had a conversation. That's
all right,
it.
This conversation. How long has this conversation been
the
lasting?
Next time we have a conversation, it's not, what do you mean, how long's the conversation been? It's been one conversation.
That's it. Just one conversation. So he's only got one chance and he's done all this. Just, this hasn't been like multiple nights texting. This hasn't been like a few times he's dropped LOL. It's just, so maybe give him another, I don't know, week, couple days and see if he can correct his mistakes.
What? Okay. It's a good thing we had this conversation. I'm going to go record my CBS Sports Minute. You're no help at all. And
that wasn't helpful? All right, drop him.
This relationship?
relationship.
Courting. You should see the huge smile on producer Jay's face. He thinks this is very amusing.
I'm just speaking.
No, you're cackling up a storm in there. What? This is the last time I ever tell you anything like this. It's you after
hours.
Yeah, right. Thank you. That's very helpful. It's courting. When was the last time you used that word?
It's a good word, no?
What? Yeah, if you're making fun of somebody else, sure, it's a great word.
Courting, like the act of trying to get someone's interest, courting them.
Is that what it means?
That's what it means, I think.
All right. I think. Oh my gosh, why do I try? It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. You can laugh at me if you must. It's totally fine. Here's our latest sports update.
Don't use LOL, though.
You are listening.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
Looking for stories about the Black community and you don't want to wait until, oh, I don't know, February? Then check out Beyond Black History Month, the podcast that tells inclusive stories year-round. Like how today's labor movement is connected to the civil rights movement and why Black neighborhoods keep getting hit with water crisis after water crisis.
We're still being charged for water that we can't use.
Listen and subscribe to Beyond Black History Month on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from. Looking for stories about the Black community and you don't want to wait until, oh, I don't know, February? Then check out Beyond Black History Month, the podcast that tells inclusive stories year-round. Like how today's labor movement is connected to the civil rights movement and why Black neighborhoods keep getting hit with water crisis after water crisis.
We're still being charged for water that we can't use.
Listen and subscribe to Beyond Black History Month on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Listening to the After Hours podcast.
Second and 20, 18 seconds left. Allen, oh. He goes down. No, he gets back up and tosses it to McKenzie, who's trying to get to the sideline, has to cut it back in and is tackled in bounds with 7 seconds left. Ingram, the tackle.
They're not going to get this off.
3, 2, 1. It's over.
They didn't get it done.
It's over. Miami wins it. 21-19.
Could not get on the ball in time. That's going to do it. How about the effort of the Miami Dolphins defense today? Wow, what a stop.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
On Dolphins Radio, time ran out. Isaiah McKenzie was indecisive. He wanted to get to the sidelines. He wanted to get more yards. He wanted to get to the hash for their kicker and ended up doing none of those things and then couldn't get back to the line of scrimmage in time for them to stop the clock before it ran out. And the Buffalo Bills, on that note, lost their last opportunity to rally past The Vikings. I don't know where I said that from. Sorry. Dolphins, duh. And so the Dolphins end up winning the game and moving to 3-0. And the Bills come up short, much to the frustration and anger of their offensive coordinator, Ken Dorsey. There's a camera on Dorsey because there's a camera in all of these offensive coaching boxes. And, of course, a director in a TV truck somewhere. Go to Dorsey. Because Dorsey takes off his headset, slams it down, then takes off his hat, slams that onto the desk as well. I've seen this video so many times. Picks up his papers, crumples them, slams them down. It just essentially goes ballistic on all of his materials and his paper in the coach's box before a hand slides across the camera lens and covers up the rest of that temper tantrum. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. He's probably saying words like that. So, yes, Ken Dorsey was on a Zoom call on Monday, asked about freaking out, so to speak, in the press box after the Bills lost.
It was a intense game. It was a passionate game. I'm up in the box. I'm watching my guys down there just give us everything they possibly have in them with effort and from start to finish, playing 90-something snaps in a game. And, it was a playoff atmosphere. A lot of credit to the Miami Dolphins. And obviously we weren't on the winning end of it. So it's frustrating and, reacted that way. That's something that I'm definitely going to learn from. And, I don't ever want to take the passion out of the game. We're all in this to win football games for the Bills, for our fans. And we're going to give them everything we got. But it's something I'm going to learn from and make sure, it's a correct move forward.
Dorsey says, look, we're all human. I'm human, as we saw. Poor guy. Oh, my gosh. I'm human. I'll make mistakes just like those guys. The key is, hey, how do we learn from those mistakes? How do we move on and make sure that we continue to progress and grow as a team? No doubt that was not his finest moment on camera, but it is football. It's a passionate game. Just like we see coaches and players yelling at each other, sometimes players themselves have to be separated on the sidelines. But I guess you could say if you've got all your heart invested and all your emotions invested, then sometimes these things come out. Let's talk to Roxy, who's in San Diego. So, Roxy, I have about 90 seconds. Go ahead.
Oh, hey, I think I turned your show on late, and I wanted to hear your reaction about Pujols, 699 and 700.
Mm-hmm. Well, I did that. Yeah, it was amazing. I did that actually on last night's show when I was here in studio. So you can check out the podcast, hour number two.
Okay, I didn't know you were. I don't know what night you're on. I just catch you usually after the Padres game. I had tickets to the three games before that when they played down here in San Diego.
Oh gosh,
I was so bummed. I was even considering driving to LA. But I just want to say I'm not a sports fan, so it's a big compliment that I listen to your show. I love when you crack yourself up. It makes me smile. It totally does. And plus, one time I heard you say, "I love when girls call." Boom.
Boom. Look at that, Roxy. That's pretty sweet. That's awesome. I'm glad you liked the show. And certainly feel free to laugh at me because I'm a total idiot half the time.
I totally do. I was crying when he hit his home run before he got to second base.
Oh. Oh, yes, me too. I get very emotional over sports moments as well.
That's funny. Okay, you guys are cool. I gave producer Jay compliments as well.
Oh, everyone does. He's by far the most popular half of this partnership, let's be honest.
Well, last time I heard you guys both said he doesn't get compliments, so I had to tell him that I liked his Tony Hawk thing and his butthole surfers part.
Roxy, you just made his day and mine too. Thank you for listening in San Diego.
All right. Take care, guys.
She covered so much ground there. Oh, that was fantastic. I will say, though, that it is a huge compliment when people who are not sports fans listen to the show, because then I know you're entertained without being bored. You can still relate. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
Looking for stories about the Black community and you don't want to wait until, February?
Then check out Beyond Black History Month, the podcast that tells inclusive stories year-round. Like how today's labor movement is connected to the civil rights movement and why Black neighborhoods keep getting hit with water crisis after water crisis.
We're still being charged for water that we can't use.
Listen and subscribe to Beyond Black History Month on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from. Looking for stories about the Black community and you don't want to wait until, February? Then check out Beyond Black History Month, the podcast that tells inclusive stories year-round. Like how today's labor movement is connected to the civil rights movement and why Black neighborhoods keep getting hit with water crisis after water crisis.
We're still being charged for water that we can't use.
Listen and subscribe to Beyond Black History Month on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.